It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 447. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions and questions, any tech question, any suggestion for a show topic. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have one voicemail, very short, with a great recommendation that I'm going to play in a little bit. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And we have the wiki at mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the past shows, the audio, the show notes. Check that site out. Have jam-packed show. Want to talk to you about a new product I purchased this week for my house that I just love, love, love. And it's a print server, but with a special catch. And I will talk about that first. Have a couple quick stories from in the trenches, especially how I resolved that Outlook Express problem from last week. I have a stack of email with tremendous questions and recommendations and utilities. So before we get started, you want your websites to load quicker. And you want to make sure that if your DNS provider goes down, you have a secondary route to your website. That is where dyn.com comes in. With outsourced DNS, you can make sure you can get to your websites at all times. With managed DNS, you can even connect items like your webcams or your DVR to a private channel that you can pull from at any time. Dyn has the service tiers for companies of any size to get started. DYN serves more than 4 million customers around the world, so stop taking chances with your uptime and start talking to Dyn about best-in-class managed DNS. To get faster internet, visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. So again, visit dyn.com/podcast30. First item I want to talk about came from a recommendation on Twitter. Silvano Vanegas, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, on Twitter, and he is the owner of Geek Easy Computers in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He sent me a link to the Lantronics X print server. This is a very tiny device that you put on your network, and it will take all of your network printers and it will serve them up so iOS can find them. So if you don't have AirPrint compliant printers, you can put this device, add it to your network, and it takes your existing network printers and makes them available to your iPhones, your iPad. I love, love, love this. One of my biggest complaints is my older printers were not AirPrint compliant. My Samsung network printer, my LaserJet, and my older OfficeJet Pro was not AirPrint compliant. I don't want to spend the money on buying new printers, but for under $100, adding a device that can do that, wow. And it did it. And I figured, let me buy it from Amazon. And the links will be in the show notes where it's using my Amazon link. And there's three versions, but I'm going to talk about two of them tonight. There's the home version, and then they have what they call the network version. The home version allows you to connect USB printers. So up to 8 USB printers can be daisy chained and connected, and now you can serve that up on your network. It has one 10-100 Ethernet port, and you're allowed just 2 network printers. So if you have printers on your network right now, your home network, and you only have 2, then that's fine. Or if you don't intend to have any more. I intend to have more than 2, and I have no printers via USB. So I bought the network version. So you have the home edition, and then you have the network edition. Now, the network edition allows for unlimited network printers. So I've connected 2 network printers that I've already had in my house, and it served them up beautifully, and I've had now been printing from everybody in the house, because we have 3 iPhones in the house. I have an iPad. Everybody has been printing for the last 3 days, just simply picking the printer right from their iPhone, right from their iPad, and it prints to either printer. It's very easy to set up. Now, beware, when you look at the Amazon links, you're going to find mostly positive reviews. Matter of fact, a significant amount, but there's a nice amount of just 1 ratings. Now, I noticed they were very old, so they're going back almost a year, some of the negative reports. So I was a little concerned when I was buying it, but I hooked it up. And remember, they've had some firmware changes. So as a matter of fact, I even added upgraded the firmware for the one that I just got today, this week. I've been running it for 3 days. Been working great. Right out of the box, I just plugged it in, added it, a Cat5 cable right to my switch, and I just let it sit for a few minutes, and it gathered up all the info. It auto-discovered both my network printers, and it served them right up. So now they were available instantly on my iPhone, and I was able to print a test page immediately. Once you determine the IP address that it received, you can browse to it, and that's where you can manage things. If it doesn't auto-discover your printers, there's a manual setup, and you can go step-by-step and manually add your printer and then see if it works. If it does not find your printers or you can't get it to print, it's still worth the try, because there's no guarantee it's going to work with 100% of the printers in the world. What you want to make sure is that it works with your device, and that's why I highly recommend you buy it from Amazon, because they have an unbelievable return policy, and if it doesn't work, box it all up, send it back, you get a refund. You don't have to worry about it. So I figured there's very low risk here in me purchasing this and giving it a try. I had nothing to lose. I currently couldn't print without going through all kinds of hoops and utilities and apps to try to print when you're not AirPrint compliant. It's very difficult. And anybody that lives in the Apple ecosystem and you're trying to print, if you don't have an AirPrint compliant printer, it's ugly. You know, it's very tough to print. So this makes it so much easier. And I was able to print both from my iPad, all of our iPhones. We have 2 iPhone 5s in the house and 1 4S. And then I have an iPad 2, and it just shows up and works beautifully. Now, it's a complicated process to upgrade the firmware if you're not at version 3. There's actually a utility that you have to download. And, you know, you just follow the instructions and it works. I downloaded the utility, followed the instructions, and it flawlessly upgraded the firmware from a version 1 dot whatever to a 3 dot. And then there was even more features when I logged in. They even have a utility on the website from Lantronics that if you can't find the device after you've plugged it in, you can enter the serial number and it will detect the IP address of the device. And then you can just browse to it and log in. The default login is admin, and the password is all capitals, P-A-S-S. Now you don't even have to look up in the manual, because that was the one thing I was like, boy, what's the default password? And they only give you like 1 sheet of paper, and it didn't have enough info, so I had to go online to determine what the default password was. if you are in an office environment or even a home environment and you have lots of iOS users, users with iPads and iPhones and Apple devices, this is a must if you don't have AirPrint compliant printers. Lots of us have those old printers and they're not compliant. If anyone was recommending a new printer, I always make sure and check, is it on the list? Does it say that it's AirPrint compliant? If they have any kind of iPhone devices in the house or in the office, you want to make sure. So this way, once you network it, it's available for when you want to print. You want to see that printer in the list for your choices automatically with no setup. Big thumbs up for this device, and I hope this helps somebody that is in the situation that I'm in, that you want to be able to print to your existing printers from your iPhone. And a huge, huge thank you to Silvano Vanigas. Sorry that I didn't pronounce your name correctly. I will put a link to your website in my show notes. If you are in the area, boy, this is a computer shop that they're not a sponsor. I don't even know them, but someone that comes up with solutions like that, that's who you want to deal with. Someone that's creative, someone that's, you know, using devices like this and have great solutions for people. That's the kind of store, that's the kind of computer place that I would want to deal with. I want to talk about a quick fix for a client that kept getting every other day the blue screen of death. And doing the research on the numbers that he sent me, it just smelt and seemed like a video driver issue. And he needed a new ATI or AMD driver because we were just using the default, the Dell Windows default driver when I installed Windows 7 Professional 64-bit, probably 2 years ago on this Dell Optiplex system. So with this occasional blue screen of death, last week, first thing I did, went to AMD, downloaded the latest driver for his ATI video card, installed the driver, made sure everything else was updated, all the drivers updated, make sure all of the software is updated, his Java's, Flash, everything, just making sure everything was up to date. He has never contacted me this whole week with any issues. I emailed him. I said, how are things going? He said, they're going great. Everything's running great. So just a quick thing to look for if you get an occasional blue screen of death. I always go to the drivers first. And I can't say 100% of the time, but a good portion of the time you're going to correct the problem, especially if it's a sporadic, doesn't happen on a regular basis. Because if it constantly happens, you want to make sure that the memory is, that's another one to go to, you know, do a good mem test and make sure that the RAM is good. And that would have been my next step, which would be test the RAM, test the hard drive with Crystal Disk Info, do some quick tests, and that will eliminate at least some of the hardware. Last week, I discussed the issue Outlook Express from a client that had a major issue where her system kind of locked up. She went into Outlook Express. Her new messages were coming in, but her 2,000 messages from her inbox were gone. I got a lot of recommendations in the chat last week. And as a matter of fact, I have some great follow-ups here from Kate. And I added some links to the show notes last week, including a link to what really fixed the problem. All the ideas were great, and I went through all of them. I logged in remotely, and the first thing I wanted to look at was the directory where Outlook Express holds all of those database files. The first thing I seen was a very large inbox database, but one called Inbox One that was her existing one. So I seen this 500 meg inbox file that absolutely all the messages are there. We just can't get to them. So I quickly copied that to another directory. Then I transferred that file to me. I was connected via Instant House Call, so it was very easy. I right-click on the file. I say transmit via instant house call. The little menu pops up on my side, and I save where I want it locally. And that took a while, but I wanted the file on my system so I could start running different utilities on Friday night and different processes to see how far I could get. And what I actually, I take that back. I did that on Thursday night. I contacted my client. It was after the show. And on Thursday night, I started going through everything. And then I transferred the file. And Thursday night, I'm downloading all these different utilities that claim to repair an Outlook Express file. So I ran a couple of them where the demo or trial version of these utilities will only restore like maybe 15 messages or restore just a sample amount, or it'll let you view them, but you can't save them until you buy the product. Well, the first two utilities I tried, no joy. It would not find and recover any messages. Matter of fact, one of them ran for a long time. It recovered one message. So I came across from SysTools Outlook Express Repair Tool. I launched that, and it quickly said it can find everything, and it recovered only 15 messages because that's what the trial version does. It costs $29 to buy it. You can only use it on two computers. So I called my client on Friday afternoon. We set up a time, and I said, we're going to buy a utility. I bought the utility online, downloaded it on her machine, and it ran, took about 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. It recovered 100% of her messages, over 2,000 emails, and it put it in a folder called Recovered Inbox. And when we launched Outlook Express, there was an additional folder called Recovered Inbox, and all of her messages were there, and they were perfect. I'm telling you, I couldn't see her, but I know she was doing cartwheels. And it was so nice to make a client that happy. So I told her I'll send her an invoice for the time that I spent on this, plus, and I cut her a break because I spent way more time than I charged her. And then added the fee for the $29 for the software, and she was ecstatic. Very, very happy ending there. And that utility is going to be linked in the show notes because you want to absolutely know programs like that where it's worth buying that are going to do some recovery. Now, this company does recovery for PST files and all sorts of things. So I would definitely check them out and all their other utilities, because this one just was, what a clean interface too. It was very simple to run and to point directly to where her Outlook Express files were located. And then I had the option of how I wanted the recovery. Did I want an Outlook Express database? Because I was also prepared, and I'm still not sure we're not going to do this anyway. I was prepared to have them all saved as individual email messages because I could have just dragged and dropped them to Thunderbird and she would have a nice new Thunderbird email client. She is an older XP, very slow system, and I've already told her she needs to buy a new computer when she's ready. It's probably going to be over the summer. If her system can make it till then, I will provide her with I'll sell her a new computer. But at that time, we're going to have to make that conversion to Thunderbird because Windows 7 does not support, or even Windows 8 for that matter, does not support Outlook Express. So I know we're going to have to convert at some point. And I thought we might have been doing that a little early last Friday, because if it didn't recover everything to the Outlook Express, I knew it could recover it as individual messages. So I figured, well, then we'll just convert the other folders. She didn't have many others, obviously, because all of her messages are in the inbox. That was a happy ending. Interesting program that didn't work. And Kate sent me some great recommendations. And one of them, I was very surprised, the DB Extract did not work. And that is a very highly recommended utility for Outlook Express. So this must have been pretty corrupt, because that utility, and it, that utility is highly recommended from Bryce over at Technible. And I was very surprised. I was really excited thinking that this utility was going to do it, and it did not. So that's what led me to have to start searching and finding other utilities to try. Now, a couple things, correspondence with Kate, and I'm going to add these to the show notes. If you ever need to just search for a file and don't want to be bothered with having to remember or figure out the path, a great portable search tool is Everything. And I've heard of this, and I'm going to make sure that I have that in the show notes. And there's another recommendation that Kate had. She says, here's a column from last September. And this was on a comment to last week when I talked about that unassociate utility that solved me when I mistakenly linked the .lnk to a Windows media file. Kate recommended, she had a column from September that not only recommended that, but several other great utilities. So I'm going to link Kate's article from September. So thank you, Kate, for that. This is from Mark, me, Claudius, in the chat. He sent me a very cool email after the show last week where I was talking about the hand scanner from Viewpoint. He uses Genius Scan app for the iPhone, and he sent me a PDF of a handwritten note that he took a picture right from his iPhone, and it made it a PDF. And he mailed it to me, and he says, after listening to your review of the Magic Wand 3 hand scanner, it reminded me of an iPhone app I recently rediscovered, Genius Scan. Genius Scan uses the iPhone's camera to turn pictures into PDF files. They can then be emailed or uploaded to Dropbox, etc. I think this app could be a big time saver for you and others, as you could do your scans of a client notes during the downtime while on site at a customer's premise, or doing the virus scans, etc. Less office work. Keep up the great podcast. And this was all handwritten, and he took a picture of it using the app. Mark, awesome, awesome. I have not had a chance to download it, but I am absolutely, that is at the top of my list for things to add to my iPhone, and I will link it in the show notes for everybody. Give a listen to this voicemail.
Hi, Mike. This is Corey Knapp from Port Jervis, New York. I am sending you a link to Clonezilla Backup. It's a script that someone made that will allow you to use Clonezilla and also have a backup partition on your hard drive. So like the Dell and HP and all the major manufacturers have a recovery partition, we can do this now for our customers and have a recovery partition that will enable them to recover the system on boot up. You can hit certain keys and there'll be a message during boot up telling you about this. Hope you like it. Thanks for the great show. Bye.
That is awesome. If you are setting up someone's new computer, maybe you build it yourself or you're reinstalling and you want to put a recovery partition in, sort of like what Dell already has, you know, for their recovery. What a great way to use Clonezilla to do that. That is awesome. Great recommendation. Thank you for the voicemail and the link. And of course, that link, which is a tutorial on how to implement this, it'll be in the show notes. This is from Jason Miller, and we've been emailing back and forth here and need some help with this one. Mike, I have an issue with printers on a Windows 2008 R2 server. They keep going offline, then back online. And I look in the event logs and did not see anything about the printers. Sometimes uses a print or a print job and it goes through just fine. However, if two or more people print at the same time, it goes offline. I Googled the problem and I keep getting the SNMP is the problem and turn it off. So I did that, no luck. I have tried a half a dozen other fixes with no luck. I have also installed the newest print drivers on the server with no luck. The weird thing is I have one user that prints directly to the printer and it goes offline as well. You can turn off the printer and turn it back on and it will print everything in her queue and the server queue just fine. But the next job sent, the printer will mess it up and cause it to go offline. It's weird because they were printing paychecks yesterday and it printed 17 of the 25. And then she had to print them all over again and it printed just fine the second time and printed all 25. They only have one main network printer, a Dell. So I bought an HP LaserJet. I brought an HP LaserJet in, hooked it up, thinking that it was just the printer. Installed the print drivers that Windows 2008 server had already had for the printer. And the same problem as the Dell. So I went to HP's website and downloaded the new drivers. And still the same problem. I've spent 20 hours on this crazy printing problem, trying different things and Googling like crazy. Do you have any suggestions? The first thing, it has a static IP address and he has been printing directly to the printer and it has the same problem. So if you print directly to the printer and you're still having the same problem, then it can't be the server. It can't be the drivers on the server. So now if you put a different printer in its place, and I didn't get a chance to send this to Jason, or I might have. Now I'm concerned about the hub or switch that everybody's coming back to. Are you having other network problems here? Maybe the network port is, or the printer is not negotiating at full duplex back to the switch. If you can, I don't know how big the network is. I'm actually thinking of recommending to change out the switch and see if that helps. Try to isolate a couple of the users and the printer onto a newer switch and see if you have that, if you have the advantage to be able to do that. I would look into the network infrastructure and the cabling. Maybe it's time to pull out the test tool and tone out the network connection that these printers are plugged into. Let's see if that will help. Let us know how you make out here. And if you have any other recommendations for Jason, please send them to me and I'll pass them on. This is from Arnold. An interesting comment here. Mike, I was under the impression that the Dell hardware tech support was included free with Dell servers. I found out today they changed the policy and anything from October 28th, 2008 forward is not free anymore. Previous to that is still free. Just an FYI. I did not know that. I always thought you could get phone support. Now, make sure that we're talking about the right thing for support. Will they come out for free? Will they do parts replacement for free? Absolutely not. That was never the case. You had to have the additional warranty. But I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought phone support was free for life on Dell servers. I got to find out with my Dell distributor and ask them this, because I have some Dell servers out there. I always buy the warranty, but if they're off warranty, I always thought they were going to help you on the phone, but that's it, no further. And if you want anything more than that, then you got to pay. And that I can understand. Double check, Arnie, and let me know if we are classifying and talking about the right thing with just phone support. This is from Udo. And he says, found an article of a teardown of an HP ProCurve 2824 Ethernet switch. And the first thing I thought of was, that's the brand Mike always recommends. Have fun with it. So Udo's from Germany. Thank you. And that link will be in the show notes, which it's a website that does a complete teardown and analysis of the HP ProCurve switch. This is from Paul. And Paul attends my special interest SIG that I'm the leader of for the Philadelphia Area Computer Society. I host the Windows Tips and Tricks SIG the third Saturday of every month. And she says, at one of your past SIGs, you mentioned a program called, I believe, Combo Fix. I really need it at our center and cannot find out where to get it. So you could please give me a clue. And I, of course, replied back, Combo Fix, when you're looking for it, you make sure you Google. Now, I sent the exact link, but you Google bleeping space computer space combo fix. Anytime you're looking for it, make sure you add that bleeping computer, because you don't want to download a Trojan version, a version that isn't the real combo fix that can actually make things worse. This is from Anthony, and he's got a blogger question here. Hi, Mike. I live in the UK and was wondering whether you could help me out with something, as I'm fairly new to the computer industry. My mom has a Blogger account that she can't sign into. When she tries to sign in, it gives the message Blogger has not been enabled by the administrator of the domain. Now, I think I understand the cause for this message, but what I don't understand is that we have three computers in our house, and she can log into her account on two of these three. The third computer, when we try to log in, comes up with the message above. I would be very grateful if you could email me back as soon as possible and shed some light on the problem. Thank you very much. Love your podcast. Keep up the great work. Sorry for taking so long to get to this message, Anthony, but a couple things. Whenever you can do something on one machine and not on the other, and they're on the same network, I look for, do an /all. Are the DNS set the same? Some DNS out there might send you somewhere different depending on the updates and depending on what's going on. I make sure all the DNS is the same. Are you using the same browser? Maybe one browser has a Flash or Java update that's needed to be able to do this login and the other one doesn't. So make sure you're using the same browser. The machine that doesn't work, try another browser and see if that helps with being able to log in to Blogger. Also, are there any antivirus programs that are running or security suites on that particular system that it's not working? You may want to disable it. So the first thing I want to look at, what's different between the system that's working and the system that's not? And clearly there's something that once you start focusing on that, then you're going to determine what the item is that's going to set you free and make it work. Let me know if any of that helped. This is from Martin. Hi, Mike. Thanks for reading my email regarding show 439. I want to clarify my statement about turning the exchange services off in Small Business Server 2011. I did not mean to say that you shouldn't turn them off, but was more saying that if you weren't going to use Exchange on the premises, then SBS Essentials 2012 would potentially be a better, more cost-effective solution. It will support up to 25 users. It is also my understanding that there is no additional user or machine cals required. That would have actually saved a little bit of money. Below are two links that might be of interest, and I'll have them in the show notes. Also, I believe in show 444, one of the emails you read was asking if it was okay to remove the Windows old folder. And if so, what was the best way? Below is a link from Microsoft explaining the process of removing the Windows.old folder by using disk cleanup. Always enjoy the show, Marty. Marty, thank you very, very much for that. This is from Chris, and it's about end computing devices. I think I have come up with a solution to my problem by using end computing devices. They seem to fit my needs, but I have never used them before. Maybe one of your listeners have. My plans are to install Windows 7 Pro on a desktop with a Core i7 with 16 gigs of RAM. From there, I will need one workstation in the office, one for an upstairs DJ and one for a downstairs DJ. I think End Computing will let me create a virtual workstation in all these areas without the need of a full PC. From what I can tell, they will create a virtual Windows 7 Pro at each point, allowing each to install their own software independent from the primary desktop. I know I will have to have a COA for each virtual box. Any input you can give me would be appreciated. I have never worked with the network computing devices and computing the way you're describing it, at least. Chris is trying to network multiple systems where he does not want to have a full computer, but he guess he's going to use it virtually. You might want to put a small VMware server and serve up from the other locations to connect in, or a smaller box running VMware. even VirtualBox. I'm wondering if we can slice up a system with multiple VirtualBox options that someone can then remote into. This is going to get a little more complicated. I'm also going to discuss your details with Winston, who has a lot of experience with virtualization and virtualizing desktops, which is what you're looking to do. I will try to explore that and see if we can come up with a solution for you. So thanks, Chris. This is from Gregory, and we went back and forth with a bunch of emails where he has a Pavilion DV6 1230 US, and he has been consistently getting the blue screen of death and cannot boot in. The first thing I said with this laptop, make sure that, and he's tried everything, but he didn't want to nuke and pave if he didn't have to. He tried so many things to repair this that it came to the point where that was the only solution. He really had to just blow it away and redo the operating system. First thing I said was make sure to take that drive out, hook it up to a cable that can, you know, say to USB and grab all the data. So you want to make sure you've preserved all of the data, then put it back in. And if the hard drive's not bad, I said, you may go through this and not solve the problem. We weren't sure if it was the motherboard and the graphics adapter that's built into the motherboard of the laptop, or was it some kind of software setting that nuking the system and redoing it might fix it. I said, you just may have to go through the trouble of nuking it and then see where you're at. And that actually solved the problem. He was lucky there was no hardware error with the laptop, but there was no guarantee. And one of the things he mentioned was how to get the new operating system on. And I said, make sure you do a clean install by doing a full wipe of the partition. So when you boot up with your operating system DVD, you go to advanced when the option comes up, and you go to all the partitions and you nuke them. You blow them all away. Then create the partition and start new for the install. And that often cleans up a lot of problems. And you were lucky that you didn't have a hardware problem. So he says, all issues have seemed to go away with the reinstall. Thanks for the help. So glad that worked out, Greg. And thanks for writing in. If you purchase from Amazon, I have lots of links always in the show notes for different products that I talk about or that I come across that I like, or maybe a client likes the product. By using that link, you help support the Mike Tech Show. And by using my links at Amazon, amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon, there your price will be the same, but a portion of that, a little percentage, comes back to the Mike Tech Show and helps support the show. And I want to thank everybody for continuing to use those links and support the show. Amazon, you know, is a great company to buy from. They have unmatched customer service. They are perfect in their customer service. They will not disappoint you. And I support Amazon fully and always purchase from them. And I thank you for all of your continued support. Next week, a plug for Tech Vets. Carrie and I have finally reached a major milestone where we will be recording show number 100 next week. So join us. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook so you'll know when it's going to be. I'm hoping for Tuesday night. That's my plan right now. So let's see. It's either going to be Tuesday or Wednesday night. I'm hoping for Tuesday. And then next Thursday, I will be doing my regular Mike Tech Show. Now, the following week, there will be, this is the week of March 3rd, there will be no Tech Vets that week. And I will be doing the Mike Tech Show on Tuesday night. I'm going to be going away on Thursday for a long weekend. And instead of skipping the Mike Tech Show, what I'm doing is moving it up. Going to be recording that on Tuesday. So next week, it's still Thursday. And then the week after on Tuesday night. So I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. thank you so very, very much. I'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.